Shall we commence our worship this morning with the singing of the paraphrase 43? You now must hear my voice no more. My Father calls me home, but soon from heaven the Holy Ghost, your Comforter, shall come. The paraphrase number 43, we'll stand as we sing together, page 160. Seek the Lord's face. I remember our brethren and sisters in Urdon Murray Church. The church was graffitied this week, and again overnight there was more graffiti put on the front of the church, destroying the whole outside of the building. And so I'd like you to remember the brethren and sisters there, what they're going through at this present time, that the Lord will bless them and comfort them and help them at this time. Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we are conscious that we need thee. We need thy presence at the start of a new year. We need the Lord to draw near to us. We need thy touch upon us. We're conscious, O God, that the devil is out to disturb, to harm, to hurt your work. And O God, to do that which is detrimental. But Lord, we pray that you'll defeat him in all his plans and purposes. We pray, Lord, that you'll bring them to naught. And we pray, O God, that you'll cause your word to go out into all the world. We thank thee, O God, that thy word will go forth. There's nothing that will prevent that. And we rejoice, our God and Father, that it is going forth. And we pray that thou wilt bless it, not only here in Northern Ireland, but across the world. We pray for the blessing of God, and the power of the Spirit of God, and the fullness of the power of God to be upon us this morning. And we pray that the blessing of God will be upon our brethren and sisters there in Dunmurry. We pray that thou wilt encourage them today, that though the devil has been busy this past week, that Lord, thou wilt defeat him today, and in days to come, and cover that work neath the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the preaching of thy word there today, and grant that it may bear forth fruit, even in the lives of men and women boys and girls. Father, we pray as we meet together here that the Spirit of God would come, the blessing of God would move, the power of God will be upon us. Grant, Lord, that we might know the presence and the nearness of God here in our midst this day. Lord, we thank Thee that we come to a God who is faithful, a God who is able to do for us great things and mighty things. And we pray that You'll do for us great things and mighty things, even in this new year into which we've entered. Oh, Spirit of the living God, fall across upon our souls this morning. And we pray that it may happen across this land, that the true believing people of God will know a visitation of the Spirit of God in power. Lord, grant Thy blessing upon us. Oh, Spirit of God, come down. Spirit of God, work. Spirit of God, touch the hearts of men and women. And grant, Lord, that precious souls, even in this year, will be swept into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, our Father, the needs of the church, as all the various aspects of the work and life of the church resume again after the holiday period. We pray, O God, for renewed vigor and power. And grant, Lord, that Thou wilt bless every sector of the work, that, Lord, we might see in these days something of the right hand of God, something of the mighty power of the Spirit of God as the Word of God is proclaimed. Lord, we pray for this. We pray for our missionaries. We pray for our ministers. Pray for the ministers' week of prayer this week. Lord, it may be a week of blessing. And Lord, even a watershed as far as this land is concerned. And grant, Lord, there may be a turning unto the Lord in this country at this time. Father, we pray for those that are ill, who cannot be out this morning. Those who are afflicted, there's lots of sickness around. We pray for healing, restoration. We pray for others who are more severely ill. We think of Billy Heron today. We pray for Thy touch upon him, even as he commences this treatment tomorrow, that Thou wilt go before him. Not only touch him in body, but touch him in soul. Grant that this dear man will be brought to Christ. Help his family at this time. Draw near to others too who are going through procedures or visits to doctors or consultants or waiting on tests, results, that Thou wilt be with them and that Thou wilt bless each one. Remember the bereaved too. Comfort those that have suffered loss. May they know the presence of the Lord at this time. We ask it in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. Hymn number 168, and we'll stand as we sing together. 168 in our hymn book. We'll stand together as we sing this hymn. Thou Christ of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. Thy blood-bought gift today we claim. Send the fire. Look down and see this waiting host. Give us the promised Holy Ghost. We want another Pentecost. Send the fire. 168, we'll stand as we sing together. Stand as we sing. reading from the Word of God this morning in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. The book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. And reading together from the opening verse. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. And reading together from the verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Now, boys and girls, we're going to have a story this morning, and we're thinking about the story of Paul in the New Testament. And Paul did, of course, many wonderful things. The Lord saved him on the Damascus Road. He was changed. He was a new person. And he began to proclaim the Word of God. And on one occasion, God spoke. On many occasions, God spoke to Paul. But on this particular occasion, he received a call to go into Macedonia. A call to go into this region. And the call was, come over into Macedonia and help us. They needed help. And Paul, along with others, responded to that call and went into this particular area of Macedonia to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to this area. And of course, this was a thriving place. Philippi was a very busy place, a busy marketplace, lots of people around. But, of course, he met up with women who met together, and they met together by the riverside. The riverside. And, of course, there was a prayer meeting that was taking place there. And they met together for prayer. But among those who met together, there was a woman called Lydia. Boys and girls, remember the name Lydia. Because the Bible tells us her heart was opened to the Word of God. She gave attention Many times in school, boys and girls, you'd be told, pay attention. Maybe you're told that in your home as well. Pay attention. Listen. And boys and girls, listen this morning. Lydia was a woman who heard the gospel. And the Bible says her heart was opened. And Lydia was saved. She came to know and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And boys and girls, this morning, there was a change in Lydia's life. And when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart as your Savior, there will be a change in your life. You will begin to walk with the Lord. You'll begin to talk with the Lord. You'll begin to read His Word and to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. You know, boys and girls, being a Christian is not just asking the Lord Jesus into your heart. Of course, it involves that. But it's more than that. Once you have done that, you begin to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You begin to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. You begin to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this woman, Lydia, her life was changed. Her life was changed. And Paul, of course, he continued along with Silas and others to bring the gospel to those around about. And boys and girls, we're going to hear in the next part of the story a woman whom Paul confronted on the way and how this happened and what happened then. And so we'll have the next part of the story on the next occasion. But meanwhile, think about Lydia this morning and have your heart opened to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to sing a chorus, boys and girls. Jesus' love is very wonderful. I want you to do the actions, boys and girls. We'll sing it through twice and we'll do our very best. Everybody joining in.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love.
So high.
So high. You can't get over it. So low. You can't get under it. So high. You can't get right it. Oh, wonderful love. He showed His love when He died on Calvary. He showed His love when He died on Calvary, show His love and died on Calvary. Oh, wonderful love, so high, oh, so high. You can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So high, you can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love. His love and light of heaven.
Not so wide after all you've eaten at Christmas. We can't get round. Christmas and New Year. Well, all the eating's over. So we're back to reality now. We do welcome you in the Lord's name, and we trust the Lord will bless our coming together this morning in His house. We welcome you and we wish you all a happy New Year. If we didn't do so during the week, we wish you all a happy new year. Just wish the people around you a happy new year. If you didn't do it the other night or you weren't here for some reason, wish the people a happy new year. Do remember, please, the gospel service tonight at 7 o'clock. We're preaching tonight a New Year's message for 2019. The Lord's word is the best word for 2019, for any day and for any year. And so remember tonight in the gospel. Our sister Natasha was to sing, but she's having trouble with her throat. So Brother George has kindly stepped in, and he's going to minister in song. Brother George McFadden tonight in the gospel. Do please remember the meeting. Do remember the prayer times. And just at the beginning of a new year, we encourage folk to come to the prayer times and come at the before the services. Appreciate those who come, but maybe others could come in. And do come into the times of prayer. It encourages the preacher, not only me, but other preachers that come. And also the midweek prayer meeting on Tuesday night. And this week we'll be praying for our families. So do remember, please, Tuesday night, each Tuesday night. And we're having a mission later on, so we want to focus on that in our prayer times and praying for our families and praying for souls and praying for the work of God as a whole. So remember Tuesday nights as well at 8 o'clock and other special seasons of prayer. Do remember also that we have our prize giving for the boys and girls who attend church. That will take place at the conclusion of the service this morning. We trust that you'll encourage the boys and girls who do attend church, and we're glad to see them, and we trust that you will remember them even day by day in your prayers as well. Then the Little Sunbeams and the Awana Club, they both recommence tomorrow at the usual times. And Tuesday night, the children's meeting resumes as well, usual time, 7 o'clock. Youth fellowship resumes on Friday night. It's DVD night this Friday at 8. We encourage all young people to come along. Saturday night, the Youth Reach resumes again at 7:30 to 9:15. Do remember all of these efforts in the gospel to reach boys and girls and young people. And if you can help out in any way, we're always looking for more volunteers and helpers. We'd appreciate if you can do that. Could I also mention little motto cards are available. You can pick them up if you didn't get one on the way in. There should be one for at least every adult and young person. And we encourage you to pick it up and take it and put it in your Bible and keep it in mind before the Lord this year. Then our church dinner, the 25th of January, Friday the 25th, and the menus are available. Now I know Ballygowan are notorious at going late. We haven't done it yet, and we're going to do it 2 days before the dinner. Well, we don't need that. We need names in now, and we need a certain number of names to make the dinner viable. So we need you to come, and we need you to invite your friends as well. Do get this back to Mervyn Barr or Robert Catterson as soon as possible. The last day is the 20th, so you've 2 weeks to think about it. So please get it in with the money for that and support it. We do have our brother Fred, who's going to be singing and doing compere, and also our sister Joy Boyd ministering in song. So there'll be a program on the night as well, and we encourage you to come along to the church dinner for the food and for the fellowship. Also, the envelopes for the new year are to hand. Do see our brethren about that if you haven't picked them up as yet. Today is our building fund. All loose collections go to our building fund, and we appreciate your giving toward that. Next Lord's Day, in the will of God, 11:30 and 7, Reverend David Priestley will be the preacher. And do remember the Sunday school and Bible class resume as well next Lord's Day at 10 o'clock for all the boys and girls and young people. And we encourage young people to come to the Bible class as well. Parents to encourage their children and young people to come out to the Bible class on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Do remember that, please, from next Sunday onward. And then next Sunday afternoon, the meeting in Bray Valley. And again, 3 o'clock, we're always needing helpers and those that can come and help with the nursing home ministry. So remember that next Lord's Day as well. Our church week of prayer is not as it normally would be in January this year. As you can see from your announcement sheet on the back, it is in March, because We're having a mission, and we decided to have the prayer time nearer the time of mission. So we're going to have a season of prayer that week, the 4th to the 10th of March. And the gospel mission is, of course, the 7th to the 14th of April with Reverend Higginson. So remember, please, these matters. Keep them in mind, and let's keep them before the Lord. The Vision magazine is to hand. If you are a subscriber, do see Robert about the current issue, which is now available today. And if you haven't paid your subscription, do please see her brother about that as well. Other matters you will see on your announcement sheet. Now we're going to join in the singing of a hymn, 172, keeping our seats as we sing together. As I mentioned at the start, do remember our brethren and sisters in Dunmurray. The church was covered with graffiti on one side of it during the week. And then overnight last night, I got a message this morning, the front of the church was also put graffiti right at the front entrance of the church. So do pray that the Lord will intervene there and overrule and help our brethren and sisters there in Dunmurray at this time, going through just a difficult time. It's upsetting for people to see the house of God disfigured. And this is in a loyalist estate, would you believe it? A loyalist estate. It's supposed to be, I don't know what they're loyal to. Well, certainly not to the Lord. But do please remember the folks there at this time that the Lord will be with them and bless them. 172, Lord, as of old at Pentecost, thou didst thy power display with cleansing, purifying flame descend on us today. Keeping our seats for the first part. Page 246. fire, please. Make sure your mobiles are turned off, please, or put on silent as we come to worship the Lord and come to His Word this morning. Father in heaven, we come now to the preaching of Thy Word. I am trusting Thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to focus our attention this morning upon our motto text for 2019. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The subject today is the power we need is available now. The power we need is available now. As we focus on this text this morning, we think about waiting. That is often the hardest thing to do. Perhaps there's somebody here and you're very impatient and you don't like waiting. You intensely like waiting. This is the day of instance, isn't it? You press a button and you get the coffee out of the machine. You press a button and something else happens. Or maybe it doesn't happen, but it's supposed to happen. It's supposed to be instant, but it isn't necessarily instant. And then we start shaking the machine because we think by shaking it, it will help. It probably just wrecks the machine. Waiting. It's the hardest thing to do. The excitement of the post-resurrection visits must have filled the Lord's disciples with excitement and filled them with great enthusiasm. They must have felt that with marching orders from the one who had conquered death, there was nothing they could not dare. There was no crowd they could not sway. There was no country they could not conquer. No confrontation where they could not succeed. But such enthusiasm would not last. It was noble, perhaps. It was sincere, but it had no saving power. It was born of the flesh. They needed more than that. They needed the Holy Spirit. You see, their task, humanly speaking, was an impossible task. Even the Great Commission in their hands, they would need more than willingness if the world was to be won. In the shelter of the upper room, they could have no idea of the impossibility of the task, of the stubborn unbelief of man, of the entrenched vested interest of government, commerce and religion that would oppose them, of the cruel persecutions that awaited them. And the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in that upper room, no doubt was good, but they needed more. They needed the promise of the Father. It was John who best remembered and almost alone recorded in his gospel the Lord's previous long conversations with them in the same upper room about the promise of the Father. He said in John 14 verse 16, I will pray the Father and He shall give you another comforter. A comforter, of course, is the Holy Spirit. One who stands alongside to help us in our hour of need. Amidst the great challenges of life, the things that face us on a day-to-day basis, they would need that comforter, the Holy Spirit. Of course, they needed the Holy Spirit, first of all, to enlighten them, to enlighten them as to their memories. The New Testament was to be written. The many things Jesus had taught them would have to be recalled and written down under the same divine inspiration that had produced the Old Testament. They would need the Holy Spirit for that. But not only would the Spirit enlighten them as to their memories, but also as to their message. You see, they were not to preach the words of man's wisdom, but words supplied by the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament would have to be seen in a new light and preached with a new relevance. The significance of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection would have to be understood and proclaimed. They would need the Holy Spirit for that. They would need the Spirit as to their movements. When they go, where they go, who should go. Who should evangelize Europe and Asia and Africa? They would need the Holy Spirit for that. But they needed the Holy Spirit not only to enlighten them, but they needed the Holy Spirit to energize them. To preach with power. No man, however enlightened and zealous and willing, has what it takes to convict and convert and to consecrate. They could no more convert a soul than they could create a star. They needed a power outside themselves to make the Lord Jesus Christ real to a lost and dying world. A world blinded by Satan and enslaved by sin. They needed the Holy Spirit for that. But they needed the Holy Spirit to live the life. They did not have what it took to live the Christian life. He had given his life to them, so now he must give his life to them that it might be lived in their lives. They needed the Holy Spirit for that. They needed the Holy Spirit to encourage them. To encourage them. They were full of encouragement now. But what about when they were alone? What about when they faced imprisonment? What about when they were scourged? What about when they were threatened with cruel death? They would need the Holy Spirit for that. What is the answer? Wait. That's what they had to do. They had to wait for the promise of the Father, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon them. What is the answer to the challenges of our lives in 2019? What is the answer to the challenges that we face in this world? What is the answer to the challenges that the church faces today? The answer is the Holy Spirit. Wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And here is the answer in the words of our text this morning. The power we need is available now. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Three simple things I want to draw your attention to. First of all, the receiving of this power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. The first thing here is, it is a personal receiving of this power. But ye shall receive power. The disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, his followers, those who had been following his resurrection, verse 3, those with whom the Lord Jesus Christ was assembled, verse 4, those whom he commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait
For the promise of the Father which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verses 4 to 5. You and I, today as individuals, need this power. We are powerless and weak. We are frail, faltering and fainting people. But the Bible says, and listen to this, he giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint to be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But they that, listen to it again, wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You'll notice the ye and the you in our text this morning. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Each one of us, as an individual, can receive this power. We stand in need of it this morning. Our need is desperate. It is an urgent need. And may the Lord visit every individual child of God in this congregation today. If those who were in the company of Christ, who had such contact with Christ, who had such communion with Christ, needed this power, and they did, how much more do you and I need it in this 21st century, in 2019? Notice, secondly, the plentiful receiving of this power. This power was in plentiful supply. There was no shortage of it. The thought in this word power here is that of inherent power. Capability to perform anything. Then absolutely not merely power capable of action, but power in action. The power of God, the thought is here, and the sense is dynamic power. We may have energy and enthusiasm and effort, and I commend all of those things, and we need all of that. There is no room for laziness in the church of God and in the work of God. There is no room for idleness among God's people. We must be up and doing. We must labor, for the days are ever shortening, and the night is coming. But friend, all the energy, all the enthusiasm, all of the effort will not prevail. We need power. We stand in need of it this morning. We have seen our efforts fail. We have made no impression of ourselves. We need power. You think of a factory with all the machinery sitting there, but if it doesn't have the power, all it will do will sit there. It may be plugged into the power, but unless it is switched on, it will accomplish absolutely nothing. We can have all of the machinery in the church, all of the organization and manpower in place, but without this power, it is useless. Nothing will be done. The Lord said, without me, you can do nothing. I was reading about C.H. Spurgeon. One occasion, C.H. Spurgeon got a beautiful penny farthing bicycle. Now, I know that's from another era, but if you follow bicycles and know anything about bicycles, you will know that the penny farthing was a very priceless thing in its day. He got this silver plated, and he's out riding it, and he meets this man on the bone shaker, and he says to the man on the bone shaker, "That's not much of a bicycle you've got," Spurgeon said to him. "Yeah, that's not." But the man left Spurgeon behind.
You see, Spurgeon had the machinery, but he hadn't got the power. Hadn't got the power. And you can have all of the machinery, and we can have all of the machinery in the church. But unless we have the power, we will do nothing. And nothing will be done. Once we receive the power, things will change. The power of God will begin to flow through the body, that is, the church will be alive and empowered to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a program we need in the church. It's power. It's the power of God. You'll notice the person who is the recognized source of this power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. That's the third thing here. The sense is the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you. You will be animated and actuated by a better spirit than your own. You shall have power to preach the gospel and to prove it out of the scriptures. They did not have strength of their own, nor wisdom, nor courage enough. You see, those whom God calls, He equips. In Micah chapter 3, verse 8, the prophet said, "But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin." You see the Holy Spirit descending like a dove upon the Lord Jesus Christ at the commencement of his earthly ministry. Matthew 3:16. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1, the prophetic word was, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty unto the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound." And the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 4, He read those words. And He said, "This day is this prophecy fulfilled in your ears." The Lord Jesus Christ's ministry from beginning to end was a Spirit-anointed ministry. He fulfilled His ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you cannot fail to see this in the ministry of the apostles right through the book of Acts. It was in the power of the Holy Spirit. Praying and preaching. The ministry of the church had as its very core the power of the Holy Spirit. It was absolutely central and crucial in everything the church engaged in. Servants of God who were used of God in the salvation of souls had this power. I was reading recently again by Jonathan Edwards. Great ministry he had under God in Northampton, New England. But you know, Edwards was a theologian. He read a manuscript. He had very poor eyesight, and he read it with his head down very close to the manuscript. But one day things changed. Jonathan Edwards preached, the Holy Spirit came. The power of God descended. And sinners held on to the pillars of the church lest they would fall into hell. And God moved in that community. And God broke in with blessing and power. The Spirit of God came upon the preacher. And oh, brethren and sisters, I want you to pray this year, 2019, that the Spirit of God would come upon the pulpit ministry here in Ballygowan, upon the preacher, that I might be a man filled with the Holy Spirit, preaching the Word of God in this place. And there are people today, and they use the Holy Spirit's name very glibly and in a very light fashion. But my friend, we need to be careful when we use the Holy Spirit's name. This is God, the Holy Spirit. This is the third person of the Trinity. But thank God, His power is available to us and is available to the church today in 2019 as much as it was in the first century.
And the exhortation is this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And the word there is this. Be continually filled. Be continually filled. See, the filling of the Holy Spirit is not a once for all experience. Something we need continually. Every day of our lives. For every situation we face. Every difficulty. The receiving of this power. I want you to see, secondly, the response with this power. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Those whom he employs in his service, he will qualify for it and will bear them out in it. They shall bear testimony unto Christ. Christ will be spoken of in all of their witnesses. And this word witness is a key word in the book of Acts. It's used 29 times as either a verb or a noun in the book of Acts. What is a witness? A witness is somebody who tells what he or she has seen or heard. We could say they tell it as it is. Acts chapter 4, verses 19 to 20. We read there these words, the fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, verses 19 to 20. And it says, Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They spoke the things they had seen, the things that they had heard. They were witnesses unto Christ. When you're on a witness stand in court, the judge is not interested in your own ideas or opinions. He only wants to hear what you know, what you've seen, what you've witnessed. Our English word martyr comes from the Greek word translated witness, and many of God's people have sealed their witness by laying down their lives. Even as we meet today, many of God's faithful servants are laying down their lives for the gospel of Christ. We hear a great deal about soul winning, and the emphasis is a good one. However, while some of God's people have a calling to evangelism, all of God's people are expected to be witnesses and to tell the lost about the Savior. Not every Christian can bring a sinner to a place of faith and decision, though most of us could do better in this regard. But every Christian can bear personal, faithful witness to the Savior. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 14, verse 25, a true witness delivereth souls. Are you a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and your family? Are you a witness in the workplace or college or wherever you are in life, in the community at large? Are you seeking to deliver souls? Is Christ to the fore in your witnessing? We see this in the Acts of the Apostles. Again and again, Acts 4:33, for example, with great power gave the apostles witness, there you have the word again, of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Acts 5:32, and we are witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Acts 8, verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Acts 8:35, then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. Acts 9:20, and straightway he that is Saul, just recently converted, preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. These are but a few examples of witnessing of Christ. Powerful, personal, pointed, penetrating witnessing. Preaching of Christ. That's what we need to get out to this world. The message of Christ. That's what Ballygowan needs to hear. That's what the community around us needs to hear.
And this needs to be our focus wherever we go, wherever God gives us opportunity to witness of Christ to a dying world. Look at Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And this was the emphasis in Paul's letters too, that Christ should be spoken of. They were to witness unto Christ. Are we witnessing unto Christ? Is our preaching unto Christ? We're not here to present ourselves. We're not here to tell the congregation what we have done. We're here to speak of Christ. That's the ministry that God has given us. And that's the work that God has given to every Christian, whoever you are. The final thought is this, the reaching out through this power. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Here we have the Lord's master plan for world evangelism. You can go into a bookshop and you can get books and it says, Program for Evangelism. You can go onto the internet and get all these things, all these programs. Now, I'm not saying we can't pick up certain things that are good from them. But friend, here's the Lord's plan. Here's the Lord's plan, the master plan for world evangelism. They were to begin at Jerusalem. In other words, they were to begin in their own community. They were to begin with family, friends, neighbors, people about them. That is where all witness properly begins. Have you begun at Jerusalem? No matter where we live as Christians, we should begin our witness at home. Dr. Oswald J. Smith said a significant thing. He said, and I quote, "The light that shines the farthest will shine the brightest at home." The light that shines the farthest will shine the brightest at home. Evangelizing in our own community. And then they were to evangelize their own country, Judea. They were to be concerned with those who spoke the same language, had the same customs, lived in the same environment, under the same government. This would be the first trial in reaching beyond their immediate neighborhood. This next venture would give them experience in following the Holy Spirit's lead and meeting strangers and getting used to traveling, adjusting to new situations. You see, home missions are just as important as foreign missions. You need to realize that. If we are not exercised about reaching our own country, how can we be exercised about reaching someone else's country? We have heathens on our own doorsteps, friend. People that know nothing of the gospel. Maybe living next door to you or me. They know nothing of the gospel. We're living in a generation now where some third generation people have never darkened the door of a church. That is the truth of the matter. That is the truth of the matter. So home mission is very important. The way that Paul and Barnabas became foreign missionaries shows this principle at work. The church's first two foreign missionaries were people already engaged in evangelism where they lived. Then the disciples were to go out into Samaria. They were to reach out beyond the confines of their own country and begin evangelizing their own continent. So it's their own community, their own country, then their own continent. Samaria was a neighboring country. It represented the foreign culture with which they were most familiar. It was the one closest to them. They knew all about the Samaritans. Indeed, they had a deep-seated racial and religious prejudice against the Samaritans. As it turned out, none of the 12 were willing to make that first move. The Lord sent Philip. It was not until revival broke out in Samaria that the apostles themselves showed any willingness to go there. And finally, they're to evangelize to the uttermost parts of the earth. They were to reach the regions beyond. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations.
from pole to pole, from sea to sea. Go you into all the world. It doesn't say some of the world. It says all of the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every man, woman, boy and girl. You see, Acts chapter 1, verse 8 gives us a general outline of the book of Acts as it describes the geographical spread of the gospel from Jerusalem, Acts 1 to 7, to Judea and Samaria, Acts 8 to 9, and then to the Gentiles and to the ends of the earth, Acts chapters 10 to 28. In fact, verse 8 of the first chapter of Acts is an index to the book. The Holy Spirit followed this master plan. And how quickly our world would be evangelized, even at this late date in the church's history. If every church took this plan seriously, began with its own immediate community, reaching out into its own country, become involved in missionary activity to the furthest reaches of our own continent, and then sending out its ambassadors to all nations. The world would be invaded by armies of believers from all nations, reaching out to all peoples in all parts of the world. How can we do this? The power of the Holy Spirit. It's the answer. It's the answer. It's simplicity. You know, people say, "Oh, I heard a great sermon. I heard a great sermon." And I say to them, "What was it about?" And they can't tell me what it was about. Now, I know we can forget. We all forget. But you know the greatest sermon is simplicity. Simplicity. And here's something you can remember 2019. We need power. We need power to do the work. I don't care how gifted you are, and I don't care how many, and we've gifted men in our pulpits and men who could preach second to none, preach far better than this preacher. But I want to tell you this, we need power to preach. And we need power to do the work. To tell the world of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bear witness of Him. Let us go from this church today, out into our families, out into our neighborhoods, among our circle of friends, and beyond, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to every creature. You know, I learned a lot from the ministry of Dr. Paisley. But one thing I learned from him was his witnessing. Everywhere he went, he witnessed. I would defy anybody in regard to that matter. He witnessed to souls everywhere. He witnessed to souls everywhere. I remember one day on the lift in the city hospital. My mother-in-law was in the hospital at the time. And he was witnessing to people on the lift. I must admit, I was standing there. He was doing it. He was witnessing. And then in the middle of the lift, he said to me about my mother-in-law being sick. And he says, "Well, have a word of prayer." And they had a word of prayer on the lift. You say he was unique. Yes, he was unique. But it was a witness. A witness. For the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be witnesses. We need the power of the Spirit to enable us to do that. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this morning. Let us turn in our hymn books to our closing hymn, and then we'll have the prize distribution. 727 in our hymn book. 727. Standing at the portal of the opening year, words of comfort meet us, hushing every fear. 727, and we'll stand as we sing, and then just be seated while we give out the prizes for the children this morning.
Thank you.
while we have these children getting their prizes, encourages the boys and girls that, and like I say, a word of thanks to our brother George for doing this work year on year, and Joanne and Mary for the help they give as well. Could I also say that you get your prizes by going down, and we want parents to do this, to the Evangelical Bookshop there in Newton Ards. You'll get a choice of stuff there, and we trust that you'll take that on board and go there. And then children aren't signed up, make sure they're signed up for the new year now in January for the League of Church Life. Okay. Ezra Lancashire, will pass that on, Cecil. There. Okay. Children aren't out, you can maybe pass it. Naomi Wilson. Okay, Naomi, come on ahead. Ellie Park. Well Park. Ellie, okay. All right, Will. See ya. Bless. Right, next one, George. Jacob Stewart. Right. And Isaac Stewart. Okay, just keep going here. Jessica Murray. Sorry, Naomi. Okay, God bless. Okay, good. Okay, Jessica. God bless. Jacob and Isaac, right. Micah Murray. Okay, Micah. God bless you. Okay, there you are. Callum Manley. Not here, right. So we can pass that on, Joanne. Okay. Are you Jacob? You're Jacob. Good.
Thank you.
Good. Good. Isaac, there you are. Get the right one. Caleb Murray. Okay, Caleb. God bless.
Thank you.
Kamanji. Balam. Julia Hannah. All right. Okay, right, getting a big girl, aren't you? Okay, God bless. Right, Jack Quinn and James Quinn, right. Lucy McBurney. Joel McBurney. Okay, Lucy, there you are, Lucy, good girl. Joel, bless. Jack Quinn, James Quinn, are on their way down, I think. Rowan Patterson, you can pass them on, can't you? Aaron, Ruben Patterson. And all, there's Ollie's there. Ollie Patterson, you can pass those on, can't you, for Rowan and Ruben? Okay. Ollie, right, good boy. Well done.
There's more
there. Lila Patterson. There's Lila. Oh, Lila. Isn't that great to see her walking? Huh? There you are, Lila. Okay. You take that. You take it for her. Good girl. Right. Jack and James. You're James, aren't you? There you are, James. There's Jack. How are you? Getting a big fella too. Okay, God bless. Faith. There you are, Faith. Good girl. God bless you. Charlie. Where's Charlie? Oh, there's Charlie. Good boy. Another Patterson. All these Patterson. Where are they all coming from? Alexander Patterson. You take that one as well, can you? Good. They're not out today, so okay. They're at the back there. So, Sophia. Sophia. I can come down, sure. All right. Sophia. All right. Sophia, great girl, aren't you? Okay. Reuben Patton. There's Reuben. Good boy, Reuben. Good boy, God bless you.
Thank you.
And Joshua and Benjamin Patton. Right. Are you shy, Benjamin? Well, I'll come down to you, sure. There you are, Benjamin. Okay, God bless you. Good boy. God bless you, Josh. Thank you very much. And I think the boys and girls all deserve a wee round of applause. We want to encourage the children because that is the next generation. We've got to encourage them because that's the future of the church. Somebody, I think it was one of our committee men, said to me at the party this year, which was the biggest party we've had for years, I think, biggest number of children in, he said, "Mr. Smiley, that's the future." And it is. And we trust that the Lord will save these children and keep them and bless them in days that are to come. And as I say, make sure that the kids get the prizes and go to the shop and get them their little prizes, and make sure other kids are joined up to the scheme as well. Get their name down for 2019, and then you get the prize at the end of that. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for your presence. We thank you for your word. Lord, we need this power to do the work of God, to do the ministry, to do the witnessing, to go out. And we pray for little babes carried in arms, and for all the children now growing up in the church, that thou will bless them. And we pray that the hand of God will be upon the work of God in 2019. We commend this work to thee, and we pray thy blessing upon us as we separate, upon all our families, the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren. The hand of God will be upon us all. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.